Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I know it sounds like I'm back at St. John's doing the rosary. I've been a fan of Mary since I was a kid. I like Jesus' mom. Let's pray. Lord, Mary's song challenges us to be honest about our lives and about our desires. Forgive us, God, for our selfishness, for all the ways we let this world form and shape us. May we, like Mary, live as your servants. May we be truly humble before you and others. May we use well the opportunities and the gifts that you place into our hands, serving you and others for your glory. So build with us and do with us as thou wilt. Relieve us of the bondage of self that we may better do thy will. Amen. So Pastor read so beautifully first chapter of Luke, verses 46 to 55. It's called Mary's Song of Praise to God. It spills out of her heart after her relative Elizabeth, who, by the way, is expecting her son, who's going to be called John the Baptizer. Don't call him John the Baptist. He might have been a Presbyterian. Maybe not the way he was dressed, but, you know, John the Baptizer. It's John the Baptizer, not John the Baptist. Anyway, Elizabeth acknowledges that Mary's blessedness is because she's going to be the mom of Jesus. Mary's song is often recalled and referred to as the Magnificat because it is the word also in English called praise. And if you notice, Mary says a lot of things. She focuses on God's great works, especially God's tendency to turn everything upside down, contrary to what we perceive. God took note of a servant girl, it says in the book, when choosing the mother of the Messiah, rather than selecting a woman of prominence. The Lord scattered the proud and the haughty, rather than honoring them. He brought down the princes from their thrones. He got food to the hungry. Mary says a lot of things. Listen, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Notice something different about how Mary acts and how we act? It's not about us. It's not about Mary. It's about God. She gives his praise to God right away. When you talk to the Almighty, are you all about praying or, "Hey, I need some help again. I know you're busy. I checked your schedule. She's praying and praising God. She's not groveling for mercy. She's rejoicing in her Savior. It's not about her. It's about what God has done and continues to do in your life, in her life, and in mine. She's not about trying to merit anything. Then she said, "You have looked with favor on the lowliness of your servant girl. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary wasn't afraid to be known as a lowly human being. In other words, she checked her ego at the door. She said, "You, mighty one, have done great things in me, and your name is holy." Unlike what we think or often hear, it's not all up to me. It's up to God. It's not up to us. God is the active one. God's love comes to us first. So be open to it. Open that gift again this year. Let God work in you. Mary said, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary knows this and knows it's God's name that's holy and to be honored. Amazing woman. She keeps speaking and she says, "Your mercy from generation to generations to all those who revere you, fear you." I think that last part is for us. But generation to generation, Mary knows that God wants to be with all the people of the world, and that God can be trusted everywhere, down through all the ages. You see, God's totally inclusive. Totally inclusive. The challenge for us in this line, what Mary says, is what? To revere God. To believe in God. To trust in God. And open ourselves up to God every day. You see, Mary trusted. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That was her response to God's offer of grace to the world through her. Amazing lady. I cannot begin to imagine how she must have felt when that angel shows up and says, "Hey, you're going to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah." Can you imagine? Mary doesn't focus on herself. She's all about giving credit to God. She praises God for all of God's attributes of mercy and grace and holiness and power. God is the one who gets the credit, she says. It wasn't about her and her greatness. No, she continued to remain humble. I want to be like Mary. I'm guessing she was a woman of faith based on what the first lesson Pastor McLean read, Hannah's song, almost similar beginning. Someone taught Mary the joy of believing. Believing even when it doesn't seem possible. She trusted. Have you ever had times in your life, moments in your life, when things did not seem to be possible? Ever have those? We ask ourselves, how can this be? When things seem impossible beyond reason, for Mary, she did what? She surrendered her will and her life over to the care of God. And that has made all the difference in this world and in the world to come for us. Closing story. It's in the mid-30s, 1930s, that is. About 250 men are holding ropes to a dirigible. Dirigible, for those of you, it's a blimp on steroids, full of air, lifts up and travels from place to place. They're trying to keep the dirigible from floating away. Suddenly, a gust of wind caught the front end of it, and it lifted high up off the ground. Some of the men, of course, let go of their ropes immediately. Others panicked, clinging firmly to the ends of their rope until they finally fell and were severely injured. But one guy, he was up there for 45 minutes. He was rescued. The reporters come up to him and say, "How on earth were you able to hold on to the rope for that long?" The guy said, "I didn't hold on to the rope. I tied it around my waist, and the rope held on to me." Instead of trying to hold on to God, let God hold on to you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed are the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Have a blessed Christmas, that Christ child was born for you, and the Lord is with thee. Amen.